Grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this blessed Easter Sunday is taken from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who died and who rose the third day, who has the keys to the grave and death, dear friends in Christ. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, is a series of popular television programs first begun in the year 2000. The first program was in fact so popular that it has spun off into a number of others. CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI Las Vegas, CSI Cyber. I have to admit I don't watch the program, but the idea is intriguing. Forensic science has made leaps and bounds since the days of my youth when policemen hoped just to find fingerprints and maybe the murder weapon. Today, crime scene investigators look for hair, bits of skin, fluid, to determine the specific genetic makeup of the individual who committed the crime. And then once obtained, those findings can be compared to that of any number of potential suspects. CSI Jerusalem. It would be difficult to search for fibers and fluids in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea today because, first of all, we don't know for certain where that tomb was located now more than 2,000 years later. However, we know with all certainty what would be found. The bones and DNA evidence of one Joseph of Arimathea and presumably his family. Investigators would find little evidence of Jesus of Nazareth because the body of Jesus wasn't in Joseph's tomb very long. It didn't even begin to rot. Why? Because he rose again the third day. He is risen. Hallelujah. This morning we look not at forensic evidence, but for the God-revealed evidence of the resurrection. This evidence is completely reliable because it comes to us from God himself, who does not and who cannot lie. In this scripture, we find three pieces of evidence: the stone, the linen cloths, and the face cloth. These are just the first of many proofs that confirm without a doubt that Christ is risen. We pray. Lord Jesus, accept my alleluias and increase my joy by bolstering my faith in your resurrection through your word. Comfort me with the assurance that my sins are forgiven and my name is written in the book of life. Grant that the boldness of joy of my Savior's resurrection embolden me to go and tell the good news to people who do not know the true meaning of his rising. Grant that others be led by the message of your glorious resurrection to rely upon you by faith and come to worship you until they in faith pass from death into life. Amen. We begin with the evidence first discovered in the early morning by Mary Magdalene. While we might say that Mary Magdalene was the one who first discovered it, we know that's not entirely true. There were others who saw the stone rolled away before her on that first day of the week, the day we know as Sunday. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Joses, went to the tomb early. These were two of the women who watched on Good Friday as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped the body of Jesus in linen strips and laid it in the tomb. They were up early that day, come to see the tomb, come to finish the embalming process they wouldn't get to. The Gospel of Luke also reveals that another woman named Joanna and certain other women went with them. It wasn't just Mary. And the Gospel of Mark even allows us to listen in on their conversation as they made their way to the tomb. Their chief concern was this: who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? The stone. They were worried about the heavy stone that Joseph of Arimathea had rolled against the entrance to the tomb. It had also been sealed and was under guard by Roman soldiers. But as they approached, they discovered the first evidence of the resurrection. The stone had been rolled away. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." How would you respond if you returned to the cemetery 2 days after, grieving the loss of a loved one, to find the headstone toppled over and a big hole in the ground? You would probably assume that the body had been exhumed or, God forbid, disturbed by grave robbers. We might run right up to the hole and look in, or we might turn and go straight to the sexton's office looking for an explanation, or we might call the police. When Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, she took leave of the other women and ran to tell Peter and John. John is the one who's referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. While Mary turned back, the other women went to the tomb and entered there and met two angels who explained to them the meaning of the stone rolled away. But Mary Magdalene only had the evidence of the stone. She assumed that someone must have taken the body of Jesus out of the grave. Why else would someone open the tomb? We could almost imagine Mary, short of breath, explaining, "The Lord is gone. We don't know where they have laid him." She assumed that the tomb had been opened by other human beings. She assumed wrong. It wasn't a group of men, but a single glorious angel of the Lord who descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the entrance of the tomb and sat on it. This messenger of God could not be hidden by the darkness, for his countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. The event was also witnessed by a number of Roman soldiers, but they blacked out because they were so terrified at the sight. But the stone had not been rolled away so that someone could carry away Jesus' body. It was rolled away to show the world that Jesus of Nazareth was already gone. He had arisen from death, as the other evidence would also prove. And so Mary's initial assumption was proven wrong by the facts. The stone rolled away is evidence simply that God wants everyone to know that the tomb is empty, that he is arisen from the dead, for a dead Jesus is not a savior. A living one is. We wouldn't have much of a case if this were the only evidence, would we? But it isn't. There's more. And we still even haven't seen the living Savior himself yet. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Crime scene investigation requires that we carefully look at the cold, hard facts and notice and deduce things that aren't immediately evident. For example, a broken window can mean merely an errant baseball, or it could be evidence of a thief breaking into the house. If the glass from the broken window is inside of the house, then it's evidence the window was broken from the outside. It seems obvious when you think about it. When Simon Peter and John set out for the tomb of Joseph, they were together. But John, perhaps younger than Peter, arrived at the tomb first, and he looked into the tomb and he saw the next piece of evidence. The linen cloths, but no body. We know exactly how Jesus' body was prepared for burial because we're told. John 19 says, they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. So when they laid the body of Jesus to rest, it would have looked something like what we would call a mummy. That was the custom of the Jews, to wrap a body in layers of strips of linen, interspersed with myrrh and aloes. When John looked into the tomb, he probably expected to see one of two things. Either the body there, still looking like a mummy, or no body at all. After all, if someone had come in the dead of night to take away the body of Jesus, they wouldn't have taken the time to carefully unwrap the Savior and leave the packaging behind. They would have carried the corpse away quickly. What was it that John saw? More evidence of the resurrection. He saw the linen strips lying where the body of Jesus had lain, but with no body to hold them up. If this was a grave robbery, it was a magic one, because the body had apparently passed through the linen strips, leaving the linen strips behind. This was no evidence of a grave robbery, but it was evidence of Jesus' glorious exit from the grave. The Apostle Peter, still huffing and puffing his way to the tomb, would later, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write what happened that morning. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Earlier that morning, the glorified Christ rose and, leaving the linen strips behind, proclaimed his victory to Satan and his host in hell. But first, he left our final bit of evidence this morning. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. When that aging fisherman finally made it to the tomb, he saw his friend John standing looking into the tomb. Peter was not so timid. He went straightway into the tomb, and he saw what John had seen, the linen cloths lying there without a body. And then he saw one more piece of evidence, the face cloth. The word that's used here means sweat cloth, and usually refers to a piece of material used for wiping perspiration. And it's for that reason that our translations call it a handkerchief, because that's what we use that for. It was larger, though, than what we would call a hanky, because it was used to wrap the entire head. In fact, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, we're told that he still had his on, and it had to be taken off. When he who had died came out bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Where did Peter find the face cloth? Strewn about on the floor of the tomb? No. No, it was folded up in another place by itself, as if it was simply no longer needed. It is evident that the disciples did not fully understand the import of what they were seeing. Did they see it as evidence? John did, because we're told that he saw and believed. Peter, on the other hand, was simply amazed and marveled. For they as yet did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. This seems like I read something wrong, doesn't it? It's the wrong ending altogether. I mean, this is how it ends? They went home? There's no discussion recorded here, no leaping about, no joy. Because in the beginning, they didn't tell anyone. This rising from the dead doesn't happen every day, you know. But it's hard to imagine that they weren't overcome with joy as we are on this day. That's because we have the benefit of the New Testament. They were still living it. Now this is told to us, not so that we go home and sequester ourselves quietly. This is told to us so that we tell others. This evidence is shown to us so that we pass it on and help others to see the evidence of the resurrection and believe. Everyone needs to know that a dead Jesus is no savior. But Jesus isn't dead. He has risen from death. He lives. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.